say something, summarize something about the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, which relates to what's written in our parasha, and of course in the parasha of Yitro. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion that he was unable to handle the situation. That there was something here, as Rashi points out, this is kind of an unreasonable conclusion for Moshe Rabbeinu to come to. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu is backed up by God, and it seems that he was able to do anything. I mean, he was able to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and to bring down the Torah, and to etc., etc., etc. And what was it that stopped him? What was it that stopped Moshe Rabbeinu from continuing and doing more and doing it better? What was it that ended his career, so to speak? So the Torah in Dvarim, Perek Aleph, the psukim that you have before you, Moshe Rabbeinu makes this remarkable statement after he introduces it, right? Beva Yadein Beretz Moav, O'il Moshe Be'eret HaTorah Zot Leimor. And you know that that's a problematic pasuk, because what has Moshe Rabbeinu been doing for the last 38 years, if not Be'eret HaTorah Zot Leimor? So Rashi solves the problem in a kind of a strange way. He says, Be'eret HaTorah B'shiv Im Lashon Pirshalahem. I don't know what that means. But I know that there is this idea that there are 70 Lishonot. That somehow those 70 Lishonot, of course, go back to some original language, which was then divided up by a Kodesh Baruch Hu because of something that happened. That people took advantage of the fact that they were unified and that they all spoke one language. And the punishment for taking advantage was that they suddenly found themselves speaking different languages. And then the unity which produced the undesirable result, right, Migdal Bavel, that unity was no longer possible. But why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu should have had to teach the Torah B'Shivim L'Shonot, that remains a kind of a mystery. Rashi doesn't explain it to us. Right? So you can think about it in any way that you wish. But then, after that, Moshe Rabbeinu starts summarizing how it happened. They travel from here to there, and they receive the Torah, and now they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes this remarkable comment in Pasuk Tet. See, Pasuk Tet, V'omar aleichem ba'eit ahi le'mor, lo uchal levadi se'eit etchem. Now, because the Torah doesn't give us the benefit of the supra-segmental elements, like, you know, exclamation point, question mark, or theatrical comments like frustration, happiness. So we don't know. What is Moshe Rabbeinu really saying? What is lo uchal levadisa eit etchem? I mean, why not? What's his problem? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is the divinely appointed one who's going to carry Bnei Yisrael to wherever they're supposed to go. So Rashi says what he says. He says, Lo Chalavadi, you see Lo Chalavadi in Rashi, Pasuk Tet? Lo Chalavadi, Efshar, is it possible? Shelo ya Moshe Yechol Dunet Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu could not serve as a judge, ladun, to make decisions when they brought shilas to him. Adam shotziyami mitzrayim v'karalem et hayam v'orid et aman v'igiz et aslav lo hayal yachol ladunam. I mean, like, this sounds kind of ridiculous. Elakach amar lehem. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say. Remember, we talked about the supra segmental elements that are missing. Elakach amar lehem. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu really meant to say. Hashem Elokechem hilba etchem הגדיל והרים אתכם על דייניכם, נטל את העונש מכן ונתנו על הדיינים. So before you get involved in what Rashi is talking about, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu said that. What did he mean? What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean? Now the way I understand it is that what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, when it comes to Dayanut, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm a Dayan. I have the same rules apply to me as they apply to anybody else. And those rules are devastating. Why are they devastating? V'chein amar Shlomo, Rashi goes on and says, "Ki mi yuchal lishpot adamcha kaved hazeh?" How can you make this? How can anybody judge these people? Efshar mi shekatuv bo ve'echam mikol adam. Isn't that true about Shlomo Melech that he's ve'echam mikol adam? He was the smartest one of all. So how come he was not able to judge the world? Omar. Omer mi yachol lishpot elakacha mashlomo. Ein dayanei umah zo kedayanei shel umot. To be a dayan in Yisrael, I'm going to talk about today, but to be a dayan in Yisrael is not like being a dayan in umot ha'olam, the other people of the world. Kedayanei shel umot. She'im dan v'horeg umaka makeh v'chonek umate etino v'gozel. Because in the rest of the world, if a dayan makes a mistake, he kills somebody, he makes him pay money, he orders malkot, he does things that are patently wrong. Ein bekach klum ani. But in halacha, im ani chiyati mamon shelo kidin nefashot ani nitba. I, a dayan b'Yisrael, if I misjudge or if I misrepresent the Torah, that's what I'm doing. Nefashot ani nidba. Then I am chayav binafshi. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said according to Rashi. So my interpretation of that is that Rashi is saying to Bnei Yisrael that when it came to the function of dayanut, when it came to the job, not to the leadership of Bnei Israel, not getting Bnei Israel from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai, from Har Sinai to Arbot Moab. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Is Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu as a dayan falls into the category of all the dayanim, and even Moshe Rabbeinu could be mistaken, as we know. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know certain halachot. The Torah relates it, right? Benot Slavchad. Moshe Rabbeinu had some difficulties. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt the weight and oppression of his position as a dayan, not his position as the leader of Am Yisrael, who was given a job. Take them from point A to point B, from point B to point C. Of course, he had certain difficulties in that job as well, but nothing like this according to Rashi. Pasuk Yud Gimel. What?
What's the basis? It's a very radical statement to say. Im chiyat mishu b'taut b'mamonot nefashot ani.
No, because you're misrepresenting the Torah. You're like an apikoros. Mm-hmm. The Torah says this, and you say something else. It raises the level of the transgression to an ultimate level. Mm-hmm. When it comes to everything else, you see, just as an aside, in all the world, Dayanut is based on the notion of a pshara. Pshara means, a pshara, what is pshara in English? A compromise. Compromise means that the Beit Din doesn't make the determination, but that the litigants agree. The litigants agree about whatever they agree about. They say, I say you owe me 100, you say I owe you 50. So we split the difference, we agree. So I agree to give in a little bit, then you agree to give in a little bit. It's nothing to do with the Beit Din. The Beit Din will encourage that kind of solution, but Pshara is not a Din. A Din Torah is what the Beit Din says, you're chayav, you're potter. That's the Beit Din. Now that we know is a statement that derives directly from the Torah. Right? That's the Ramban says it in Dvarim. It's a clear position. So that if you are representing the Torah and you misrepresent the Torah, even on what seems to be a small matter, then you are you're chayav. You've done a terrible thing. I mean, you misrepresent the Torah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was not willing to make a mistake, not about Benot Slavchad, and also not about the menorah. Remember that it wasn't clear to Moshe Rabbeinu how the menorah would look. So you could say a simple pshat, that because the menorah could look like anything as long as it had seven candle holders in it. What difference does it make what it looked like? But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I want to see it. The description in the Chumash is not sufficient. It doesn't clarify for me what I'm supposed to make, how I'm supposed to make this menorah. So again, he says, Pasuk Yudbet, Eicha Esal Levadi Torchachem, right? Following Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet is Evama Beit Elimo, Lo Chalavadi Seitetchem. Pasuk Yudbet, Eicha Esal Levadi Torchachem Umasaachem Verivchem. Now, I don't know what these words, you know, it's these words, it sounds bad, right? Torchachem, your annoyance, and masachem, your weight, and mivchem, you're fighting with each other. But these are all words that kind of mean the same thing in this context. For some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu finally or suddenly felt that he was incompetent. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, let's destroy the Am Yisrael, and we'll start over again. We'll start the whole, and you'll become the father of the nation. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any difficulty standing up for his position as the leader of Am Yisrael. He said, no, I'm the leader at Am Yisrael. I'm supposed to defend Am Yisrael. And he defended them. And he defended them successfully. And here, he's talking to Am Yisrael, the same Am Yisrael. And he says to them, I can't do it. I can't live up to this standard. Eicha Esal Levadi. You know, some people say that's the reason we always read the parasha of Dvarim before Tisha B'Av, right? And then even there are different minhagim about the pasuk that you read it at the end of the first aliyah, even though the Chumash says it's the beginning of the second aliyah. You know, there's all kinds of these kinds of things. It's the word Eicha. The word Eicha is the connector, not so much the content of it, but it is true that the Dvarim is always comes before, it says that in the Gemara, comes before the Tisha B'Av. So here we have this pasuk. Look at the Rashi. Echa esal levadi. Imo malik abel schar lo ochal. Zoi shemati ilchem lo ma'atzmi ani yomei lechem en pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So like there was, like Moshe Rabbeinu felt suddenly he had lost the reins of leadership. You know, people were saying to him, where'd you get that from? And where'd you learn, you know, who told you that? Who told you this? And then he actually goes on to explain what Torchachem, Masachem, and Rivchem means. Look, this is the Rashi. Torchachem. Mlamei Shayu Yisrael Tarchanim. They were nudniks. Aya Echad Me'adroe Et Baal Dino Nutzach Bedin. One would see the other litigant winning. Omer, Yesh Li Eidim Lahavi. So he would say after the Beit Din Paskin, he would say, I have more witnesses that I can bring, you know, on my side. So we know that the Beit Din has to accept them. Yesh li edim lahavi, yesh li rayot lahavi, bosif ani alechem dayanim. So, they always say, I don't know this personally, but you know, they say rich people know how to deal with the system, right? You could always push things off. If you have enough money, you pay the lawyers, you pay people. So that's what they did. That was what Torchachem means. Now what is Vesachem? Listen to this. Mlamecha, you apikorsim. Apikorsim, I don't know what Rashi means, but I know what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah says, if you don't think the Torah is min hashamayim, you're an apikors. Right? It seems a little strange to imagine that Bnei Yisrael who received the Torah at Har Sinai, that they would have apikorsim, like people who didn't believe that the Torah was in Sinai. That's a little hard to believe. Masachem, Mamaychi, you happy cursing. Hekdim Moshe, let's say, Damru, Mara'a ben Amram, let's say. When Moshe Rabbeinu went home early, they would say, how come he went home early? Shemei no shafui, betoch beto, maybe there's a problem at home. Rashi says, remember, Miriam, Aaron, there's a problem at home. Iche, let's say, but if he went home late, Amru, Mara'a ben Amram, shalom, let's say. Matem Surim, Yoshev Yoetz Alechem Eitzodra, Oh, Choshev Elechem Achshavot. So I guess Apikoros has a different meaning according to Rashi. It doesn't mean what the Mishnah says, that they didn't believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, but it means they didn't see the humanity of Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't see that Moshe Rabbeinu was totally devoted to his people. That's Masachem. And Rivchem, Rognim is a word in the Chumash. Rognim means to be annoying and angry, to be running around and talk about people. All of that is in the word Rognim. So, what would you call all of this? I would say these are like educational problems. You know, you find people who talk about you, who say the wrong thing. Isn't that where Moshe Rabbeinu should be involved? Is that just the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu should not run away from, but that he should be involved with? But in any event, that's what it says. Eicha esal avadi tochachem u'masa'achem v'rivchem. Okay, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. It's hard to know from Rashi. Hard to know from Rashi what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with. If you turn the page, where you still have difficulty, and you look at the Ramban, you see the second source. Well, it looks like the second source. Tam kochachem u'masachem v'rivchem. Right, you see that? You see the Ramban? Aderech ha-pshat. You know, the Ramban had a very high opinion of pshat. Unlike Rashi. Rashi had a high opinion of chazal. When Rashi says the word pshat, what he means is the pshat in chazal. And when the Ramban says pshat, he means what the words say. Now, of course, everything is subjective, right? You know, there's no 100% objective. But this is the difference between Rashi and the Ramban. And the reason, to my mind, that the Ramban was so interested in the words is because the Ramban was a Kabbalist. And Kabbalah enters into the fray on the level of words. They say, the Kabbalists say, or the Kabbalistic literature says, I've tried to be very, I've tried to not say anything about Kabbalah with Iris here, but a little bit, I have to just say that the Ramban was a Kabbalist, and that means that he had a different glossary for the words, right? The words, he had different meanings for the words that non-Kabbalists would not have applied themselves to. So he liked the pshat, because the pshat created the need for Kabbalistic interpretation. Okay, this is not the case here. I just tell you what the word pshat means. Al derech pshat. Ramaz Moshe Rabbeinu lehem shloshet advarim sha'amar li Yitro shayahu oseh la'am kemoshe pirashti sham. Sham, shmot yud chet, is that right? Tetvav. So if you turn to, where is that? Shmot yud chet tetvav. You see the pasuk at the bottom of the page? The bottom of the page you're looking at. Shmot yud chet, Pasuk Tetvav and Tetzayin. You see those Pesukim? Yes? So now let's go back to the Ramban. So he says, Kamosha Pirashti Sham, Biskiran, Li Israel, Beremes. And already there in Yitro, Hiskiran, Li Israel, Beremes. Amar Torchachem, Kineged, Vodati, Et Chukeha Elokim, Et Torotav. You see Pasuk Tet Zayin? The context is, the context is, look at Let's look at these psukim. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayimim Mocharat Veyishev Moshe Shvot Adam Vayamod Ha'am Al Moshe Min HaBokra Ad Ha'aretz. Right? This is something else. This is just simply that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with the crowd. There were so many people who were coming to ask Moshe Rabbeinu shailas that he was at it all day and all night. Vayar Chotein Moshe. Remember Chotein Moshe, Yitro had showed up either before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah, but according to the order of things of the Chumash, it was before Matan Torah that he showed up. Vayar Chotein Moshe et kol asher oseh la'am vayomer. So here's Yitro, this brilliant analyst of every company has a person who does this, and he says he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this remarkable thing, you're working too hard, Moshe Rabbeinu, very bad. You shouldn't work so hard. You should have a little exercise. You get out. You should run around. You should have friends. What are you doing this? Why are you doing it? And then he goes on and he says this wonderful, Now you couldn't make a play out of this. You know, so here's Yitro says, what are you doing? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm answering questions. I mean, Yitro knew that he was answering questions. That was his problem. He says, well, there's endless questions. Questions go on forever. What are you doing? I mean, you're going to kill yourself. Yitro was the father-in-law, right? Yitro was the father-in-law. So I guess he didn't want his daughter to become a widow too early, right? So he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, stop doing what you're doing. Then he goes on and says, Moshe Rabbeinu goes on and explains, he said, this is what I do. I tell the people what God wants of them. They come and ask me questions, I give them answers. All of which Yitro must have known. So Yitro says to his son-in-law, Lotov, Utov. I mean, everybody who learns Chumash knows that that's like a powerful statement. Because everything that should be is tov. And okay, maybe Yitro knew that, maybe he didn't know that. Maybe Yitro came to my Chumashir, maybe he didn't come to my Chumashir. But lo tov, that's a powerful statement for people who learn Chumash. And he says, this whole thing is lo tov. It's like saying, what you're doing is against the Torah. You know, you say that they're coming to you to learn what the Torah wants of them. And I say to you that you're working against the Torah. I mean, a little bit chutzpah and Yitro's part, but who knows. So, Pasuk Yudchet, Navol, Tibol, Gamata, Gama Amazeh, you will wither away, not only you, but the people. Gama Amazeh, Sheimach, Ki Kaveh, Bimcha, Davar, Lo Tuchal, Asohu, Levadecha. So I always thought that this was a discussion between two deaf people. I can't imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand that he was in trouble, that this was a bad situation, right? That this was a bad situation. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu chose to do it. And then Pasuk Yutet, Yitro says, Atashma b'koli yatzcha v'yeli mimach, Eyei ata la'amul alokim, eveita ata adadvarim el alokim. So we come to this marvelous conclusion. Yitro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hire a staff. Hire a staff. So I always said, it didn't sit right with me that Moshe Rabbeinu could not have figured this all out. And that Yitro, who is after all, to the best of our knowledge, a non-Jew, who through, by dint of some kind of accident of chronology, got the parsha of Matan Torah named after him, instead of named after Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you name Parshiyot? How do Jews name Parshiyot? The first word that strikes you as being a word of great significance, that's the name of the Parshiyot. So Bereishit Bara Elokim, Reishis. Eru told us Noach, Noach. Right? That's how it works. So how did Yitro become Yitro? By Yishma Yitro. What's the continuation of the Pasuk? Chotein Moshe. Chotein Moshe means if you would have moved the words around a little bit, you could have had Moshe before Yitro. And then the parsha would have been called Moshe. We would call the parsha. This is like a Hasidic question. Hasidic questions where you take things that don't seem to be very important at all and make a big deal out of them. So why is it that Yitro got credit for the parsha? So the answer is because Yitro saved the Torah. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah into the world. But when Yitro said the Volti Bol, Moshe Rabbeinu understood it. It was, what was the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro? What was the discussion between them? Moshe Rabbeinu said, in a certain kind of lingo, Torah equals emes, right? Torah equals emes equals tiferes. There's only one emet. There's only one emet. And if I'm here, then I know that emet better than anybody else. And therefore, it's not possible for me to give up the job. I can't say, I'm not going to answer the question. I'll give it to some assistant. Because the assistant can never produce the emet that I can produce. That was the position of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the position of Yitro, which proved to be victorious? Yitro said, Navolti bo, Navolti bo. You see the pasuk? Gam ata, but then he said, Gam ha'am hazeh asher imach. He says, you're right, Moshe Rabbeinu. Your emet is unique. It'll never be reproduced. But when you die, the whole business will die with you. Because if the people have learned that only Moshe Rabbeinu can answer the question, then they'll never go to anybody else. They won't be able to go to anybody else. So what will happen when Moshe Rabbeinu dies? It'll die. And that's what Yitro had knew about from his experience with all kinds of idolatries, all kinds of systems, all kinds of that when the when the leader, when the decider, when the one who is most knowledgeable passes on, he's often not replaced. If he's not replaced, the whole system will come to an end. One of the great things about Hasidut, or the great things about Hasidut in the early years, was that Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, apparently, we don't know too much about him, but he was like a very outstanding personality. In spite of that fact, he died and he reproduced himself. Right? He said to the Maggid of Mezrich, you do it. And he did it. He did it better than Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. He was the better leader in terms of accomplishment. And then for the few generations, the Hasidim managed to produce charismatic leadership. You know, each person was very, very remarkable until it sort of settled into a kind of pattern where we see it today. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. So Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're destroying the Torah. You're not saving the Torah. You're destroying the Torah. So at the end, who saved the Torah? Yitro. So the parish of Yitro is named Yitro. Because even though Yitro had nothing to do with receiving the Torah and bringing the Torah down from heaven, but he guaranteed the future of the Torah. How do you guarantee the future of the Torah? Somehow we got it into our heads. And that's the way we've acted ever since. That there are always people around who are going to be able to give you the authentic, or represent the authentic desire of the Torah. There are always people like that around, every generation. That's the Chiddush of Yitro. That's the Chiddush of Yitro. Now, is it good? Is it not good? We don't know. Now, if you go back to the Ramban says, Adar Chapshat, Ramaz Moshe Rabbeinu Lem Shlosh Dat Rebbe Shamali Yitro, Shehayahu ose la'am. In other words, these three words, which are found in the parasha of Dvarim, are parallel to what Moshe Rabbeinu said in the parasha of Yitro. How so? V'izkiran l'Yisrael b'remes. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioning them in a kind of a shorthand, a remes, a hint. He's hinting at them. First, Amar Torchachem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Perek Aleph in Dvarim. Yes, Torchachem. Torchachem, kineged, vodati et chukei ha'elokim et Toratav. You see Pasuk Tetzayim? Pasuk Tetzayim. Ki yelechem davar bo elayim shvadi ben elokim ben re'eu. Vodati et chukei ha'elokim et Toratav. I will teach them the laws of God and the Torah. And the Torah. Ki Torah gadol haya lelamed liyotze mimitzrayim afimim Torah uperusham ubiyuram visodam. So Torah hachem means you annoyed me. You made it hard for me because it was hard for me to teach you. It doesn't mean I didn't teach you. It means I am teaching you. That's what the Ramban says. V'iskir number two, masachem. Right, the second word that Moshe Rabbeinu uses in Perek Aleph in Dvarim, right? Masachem kineged lidrosh elokim. Pasuk tetva vayom Moshe lechadogim eliam lidrosh elokim. Right, to look for God. That's masachem. Shehu inyan tfila shemitpalel alehem. Masachem. The great weight that I'm bearing. That's the weight of tfilah that Moshe Rabbeinu would daven for them. Shehu inyan tfilah shemitpalel alehem. Hu min lashon, when they say tfilah. Ve'al tisa ba'adam rina utfilah. That the verb tisa is often used as an adjunct to the word tfilah. Okay? V'rivchem kipshuto in yinei ha-mishpatim. Rivchem just means all the stuff that goes on when you make these kinds of judgments. So, what is it that the Raman is teaching us? He's teaching us that if you want to know what Moshe Rabbeinu actually said to God, you have to look in the parasha of Yitro, according to the Ramban. And that in the parasha of Dvarim, we only have a shorthand version of what Moshe Rabbeinu really said. So what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu really said? He said, I'm teaching them the word of God, and it's weighing down on me. I'm davening for them, and it's weighing down on me. Right? And you have to remember what Yitro said. What Yitro said was, they will become totally dependent upon you, and you will never be able to pass this on to the next generation. That's what Yitro said, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu agreed with. There's one other text, before I look at the Maharal, there's one other text that I'd like you to remember, and that is the second, page 2, right, V'etchanal HaShem V'eita Yileimor, Hashem Elokim, Ata Chilota, Lerot Et Avdecha, Et Godlecha, Et Yedcha, Zaka, Hashem Yev HaShemai V'Aretz, Asher Yesek, V'Asek, V'Atecha, Et Rana V'Eret, Ha'aretz Etova, Hashem Eva Yerdena, Ha'aretz Etova, Zeb Al-Banon. For some reason, in the beginning of next week's parasha, Parashat V'Etchanan, which is usually called Shabbat Nachamu, because we read the Haftorah that starts with the word Nachamu. That parasha begins with a lack of nechama for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the question, of course, that you might ask is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that he was up for parole? I mean, Aaron had died before they got to Eretz Yisrael, and Miriam had died before she got to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was promised in no uncertain terms. Every time the life of Moshe Rabbeinu was mentioned, the end of the life, oh, the Torah keeps saying, you're talking about how it was a chilul Hashem over and over again. But Hanan el Hashem, what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu thought had happened? So Rashi is astounded at the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did this. And he says, Rashi says, Etchanan, Ein Chanun Bekol Makom, this word, Hebrew word, root letters, Chet Nun Nun, Ein Chanun Bekol Makom, Ela Lashon Matnat Chinam. It was Moshe Rabbeinu did not think that he deserved it. He did not think that he had some way of giving something and getting something. He didn't think that at all. He thought it was matnat chinam. Afal pi sheyesh lehem tzadikim letlot b'maaseihem atovim, ein mevakshim me'et ha'makom ela matnat chinam. There was Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi generalizes it. And he says, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik. He must have done many things, many righteous acts. He could have bartered them. He could have said, look, here's a sack of righteous acts, which I have done. Just let me get into Eretz Yisrael. Not such a big deal. And then in the next pasuk, Rashi says, the Chumash says, Hashem Elohim atachi lota l'rot dadecha et godlecha v'edyetcha chazaka shabiyah v'shamayim v'arz ashi esek v'asek v'vuvatecha. So even this you could do, sort of Moshe Rabbeinu says to God. Even to do something against what God said, even that's possible. That's the power of God. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, I mean, as strange as it is for me to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu must have thought that he had a chance for a matnat chinam, even though God had said to him many times, that you're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So there is this source. You see the Maharal on the second page. We'll see if I can do it. There's something called the Maharal Drush al HaTorah, and this is taken from the Hakdamah. The Maharal, you know, there's a set of Maharals that you could buy. Not the Gur Aryeh that so-and-so put out, Hartman, put out the Gur Aryeh in some endless number of volumes. And there's a new edition of the standard edition of the Maharal. And then there are separate volumes, but there's one of the volumes has this Drush al HaTorah. That's what it's called. And in the first part of the Drush al HaTorah, you have this statement. Hinei chashav Moshe B'dimyono, Moshe Rabbeinu imagined, Shelo ye'ot elav tosefet hadayanim. It's not, you know, like Yitro said, make more, have more dayanim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's not mechubad. It's not what I want. V'pnei she'davar zeh nechshav, ki ilu hu yotzei mikav ha-mishpat umidato. It's as though Moshe Rabbeinu would be saying about himself, like, I can't do it myself, I don't know it myself, yotzei mikav ha-mishpat umidato. Akav ha-mishpat is like the limit of the law, right? The measure of the limit of the law. Kol zehu bichlal, all of what we call mishpat is subsumed under the pasuk tzedek, tzedek tirdof. Everything is in order to achieve righteousness. Halach achay beitin yafek, go to a proper beitin. Asher ein latzeit mimenu af kichut asara. So if you find a proper beitin, you should not deviate even a hair's breadth from what they say. Umi yachush v'yidon yoter mimoshe amyuchas lekach. So I'm telling you that after years of saying what I said, I just found this Mara. I must have learned it once and then forgot it and said it as though I said it. And now I found it again, like min ha-shamayim. They wanted me not to think that I was so clever at this. So this is what he says. He says, "Ein latzeit mimenu af kechut ha-sa'ara. Do not even deviate a hair's breadth from that Beit Din. Umi yachush v'yadon yoter mimoshe ha-miyuchas." Who could do a better job at being a dayan than Moshe Rabbeinu ha-miyuchas l'kach? Ein od milvado. No one else. There's no one else in the world. You have a choice to go to a Beis Din that Moshe Rabbeinu is in, or you go to Yankel ben Moshe's Beis Din. So first you go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval Yitro asher shmo na'elo. Yitro, whose name, Yeter, right? Something extra, right? That's what Yeter means. That his name is fits into the story. Vuhuna Elishmo, the name is good for him, and he's good for the name. Kasher Zacharnu Shiurma speak. Ta'aleb, this he talked about earlier. Ta'aleb da'ato. He would think about it this way. Kevan Shalom Yuchal Moshe La'amod Bazeh. She had done Kol Hayom Mibokar Erev. He looks at the practical side of it. He says, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't do it. You know, you have to take a rest. You can't do it from morning to night. Ra'ui losif dayanim ulitlabesh b'midat yotzro. You have to add dayanim, right? And you have to be regular. You have to be normal. Ashera inu ki hu yitbarach. Listen to this. B'sha'ash ala lefanav b'machshava. I mean, still, you have this question. So you have the standoff between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yitro, right? Moshe Rabbeinu and Yitro. You have a standoff. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm the only one who can do it. And Yitro says, even you're not going to be able to do it because you're going to die. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu realize that he had to give in? So listen to this. This is the Maharal. This I didn't say. Asher ha'inu ki hu yitbarach b'sha'al sha'ala lefanav b'machshava lebro et olomo b'midat ha'din. When God created, this is a chazal, when God wanted to create, decided to create the world, to create the world with midat ha'din, meaning, if you do what you're supposed to do, you're okay. You don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to get whacked. That's called midat, midat ha'din. V'ra'ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw she'ein ha'olam yachol litkayem bo, that God saw that the world would not exist in midat ha'din. They can never be innocent. They would always be guilty, right? V'yiter v'shitev midat harachamim omo. You see, v'yiter means like extra. You see, he uses that word because it looks like Yitro, right? That's why he uses that word, even though it's a little odd. Yiter v'shitev, shitev combined. They combined midat harachamim omo. That's why. And the pasuk says, "Breishit bar Elokim et haShemayim et haAretz." What's Elokim? Din or what?
Din.
It's what?
The Lord Din.
But at the beginning of the second paragraph, Breishit says, "Hashem bara Hashem Elokim." It says first time. It says Hashem Elokim. There was a shituf. Elokim is Din, right? Elokim is a Dayan. Elohim, Dayan, Elokim, God. Hashem Elokim is a tziruf. It's like a kind of combination of rachamim, yudkei vavkei, and din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the world could not exist as a world of din. גם ראינו מהדכתיב בעניין ויעמוד העם על משה מן הבוקר לערב כי הדיין כאילו נעשה שותף לקדוש ברוך הוא במעשה בראשית. We all know that the dayan is like a shutaf with a kadosh baruch hu in maaseh bereishit, and that means whatever you think it means. But when the dayan paskins a shaila, when he paskins a shaila, it's not written in the Chumash or written even in the Gemara, but it becomes part of the Torah. And since the Torah, this is how the Nefesh HaChayim explains it, since the Torah was the blueprint for the creation of the world, which means that somehow the Torah pre-existed, or the blueprint part of the Torah pre-existed the creation of the world itself. So if you sit there in a Beis Din and create a new bit of Torah, so that means that that Torah that you recreated was really there before Briata Olam, right? And God looked into that and it was there. He was sort of there. That makes sense with, you know, that Gemara about Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu. God shows Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva sitting there, he's Dorish, Tilei Tilim Shel Halachot on the Ketarim of the letters. How could that be that he, the Rabbi Akiva, knew Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know? Adarava, that's a kind of very attractive position that we more or less adopt, all of us. We all adopt it. We want to know whether we should do something or not do something on Shabbos. We look in a book that was printed 5 years ago, right? That we don't look at that anything. So the Torah was written 5 years ago. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Reishit Kiyadum Emarav Zal B'Shabbat K'tiv Hacha Min HaBoka Ad HaErev, right, there's the Adrosha, U'K'tiv HaTam VaYi'Erev VaYivoker, that Shabbos and the creation of the world. V'Amar Yitro Ki Gam Kein Bazeh K'asher Yi Efshar L'Moshe La'amod B'Shu'at HaDin Ra'ui Ayoto Yoshev Bedin Levado Tamid Yitachen Shatef Amida Sheina Al Pidin Gamur. Ah, Dehainu Lo Sif Dayanim Bedavar Zehu Yeter Alikar Hadin. So Moshe Rabbeinu came to the conclusion, according to the Maharal, that Yisro was right, but the conceptual part of his conclusion was that after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, also reneged from his most ideological position, so to speak, which was to create the world with Midas Adin, and instead recreated the world in with Din modified by Rachamim. So, if you want to know why Moshe Rabbeinu asked, V'etchanan el Hashem, what was the basis of Moshe Rabbeinu's decision to make a new plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, it's based on the fact that he was no longer the Dayan representing Emet, but he was now the Dayan representing the modified truth. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu modified the ideal of the world from Elohim to Hashem Elohim, and Moshe Rabbeinu modified the idea of Dayanut from some kind of ultimate Emet to a kind of more Hashem Elohim, right, Rachamim and Emet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, I'm a new person. I'm not the person who was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael. It says that person was a person who was representative of the absolute truth. I'm a different person. There are other Dayanim, there are other Poskim, there are other people in the world besides me. Maybe that idea that Hashem Elohim, maybe that idea that was put into Hashem Elohim. You see, if you look at the Psukim, Dvarim Perek Gimel on page 2, this is Chalal al Hashem, Vayitehi Lemor. Hashem is Rachamim. Hashem Elohim. That's how we read it. Hashem Elohim. It was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to God, according to the Maharal, it's a different world. It's not just a different world in the creation, but it's also a different world in my relationship to Am Yisrael, my relationship to the Torah, my relationship to the Emet. And since we have this new relationship, and I'm kind of a different person, maybe there could be mercy for the person who is not holding on fearlessly to Emet, but is willing to compromise, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu compromised in the creation of the world. But I won't see you before Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos. I'm taking off. The Shia will go on break next week and resume for Parshat Shoftim, Wednesday, September 7th. Also, didn't mention that this year also is sponsored by friends of David Wicks, Zichron LeBracha, in his memory, Le'ili Nishmat David Ben Mordechai Shmuel, Zichron LeBracha.